What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another eventful 24 hours for the Golden State Warriors. Steph is out. Draymond talks. And they're also going to play a game tonight, I swear. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, hopefully finishing up the drama portion of, not the season, because I'm sure there will be more, but the early part of the season with Kevin Durant and Draymond, and Draymond and the organization, blah, blah, blah. It's weird. I'm tired of it after a couple days. But it's what's going on. It's what's news right now. So I guess we should start with kind of where we left off yesterday, where, you know, we still hadn't heard from Draymond. We heard from Draymond this morning. And I'm going to play his statement regarding the whole situation. And it's still not all peachy keen. I don't know if that's a term or not. Maybe I just made it up. It's still not perfect. There's definitely still some lingering feelings. And you can tell Draymond's trying to put on not a show, but he's making an effort to be around Durant and trying to kill the story a little bit, which I appreciate. But on the other side, Durant's not really making that same effort. He's kind of boo-boo face right now, which he's allowed to, you know. It's not great, but that's his prerogative, man. Maybe he does have hurt feelings over it and doesn't want to fake everything being fine. But one thing that came out yesterday, Tim Kawakami reported that it is not, the organization swears it's not a KD versus Draymond thing when it comes to suspending Draymond. It's a Draymond, I don't want to say versus the team. It's not protecting Durant from Draymond. It's kind of protecting the team from Draymond. Just to the point that they had to do something. He crossed a line. He went way too far with what he said and how he reacted to a very valid complaint or argument from Kevin Durant about basketball, about what happened on the court. And then Draymond just went personal stuff, went contract, all this other stuff. So it's not them picking Durant over Draymond. It's them picking the team over Draymond. Because if you, here's the other thing. I've talked about how attractive the Warriors can look to free agents, potential free agents of every caliber, role players, superstars, whatever. Publicly backing Draymond and not doing something about it, about his situation, about what he did, that doesn't look good for people looking at the Warriors who would want to come play here. Potentially, it would be, oh, cool, if I go to the Warriors and, you know, tell Draymond he missed an assignment, he might tell me to go f*** myself and call me a b*** and talk about my contract, and then the Warriors just won't do anything. Draymond's going to cross a line completely, and then the Warriors are just going to say, well, that's Draymond. That's not an excuse. Like, that's not an excuse that's just who he is. You know, you can't just continue to do wrong things and be, well, you know, that's just Draymond being Draymond. And again, you guys know I'm a huge Draymond fan. What he brings to the team is irreplaceable. But it doesn't mean he's above punishment or above, you know, whatever. He doesn't walk on water. He doesn't run the team. He can't just do whatever he wants. And I've seen people continue to talk about, well, I can't believe they did it publicly. Why didn't they do it behind the scenes? Because Draymond's problem, Draymond's situation that he created by flashing on Kevin Durant like that, was public. So if you don't do something publicly, to the outside, it looks like, oh, well, they're just fine with it, and they're backing Draymond over KD, or that's the way the organization is run. Draymond gets to do whatever he wants. And then people will say, well, no, they just would handle it behind closed doors. Okay, but then that's still the look that they'd be giving to the public if they do it behind closed doors and don't talk about it. If they do it behind closed doors and then talk about it, then it's public anyway. So I don't agree with the idea that it's such a huge deal that they made it a public scene because Draymond made it public. I'm just surprised by so many people kind of taking Draymond's side in this, but it's not that so much because I don't think there's sides, but just not understanding what the organization is doing. I'm all for what they did. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see the ramifications of it. Maybe this has long-term effects with whether Draymond wants to stay or KD wants to stay or any of that stuff. It's all speculation at this point. I honestly imagine that this won't have anything to do with anyone's free agency. I think if KD leaves, this will not be a deciding factor. I think if Draymond leaves, this will not be a deciding factor. Same thing with Clay. They're all too smart and too business savvy to make a decision over an argument. But I'm with the organization. I think they did the right thing. Maybe slightly a little harsh as far as the game check goes, but they can't suspend them and fine them half a game check. You know, that was the step they had to take. Here's a tweet from Ryan Russillo, who is not an insider. He was a radio host and hosts a podcast, but he's as plugged in with people in the league as anyone out there. He might as well be an insider. I would suggest you all follow him on every social media out there and his work also. He's one of my favorites. Someone I really trust also when it comes to information, because there's no bias or anything when it comes to him. So from Ryan Russillo, from people I've talked to about the Draymond KD thing, Draymond sees this team as his team. He recruited KD, and if KD leaves, he'll take it personally. I don't think Steph or Klay care about any of this. Draymond does. And if KD does leave, it's not because of this argument. So kind of things we've touched on. If KD leaves, it won't be because of an argument in November. Steph and Klay, I think, are both whatever. Draymond is emotional. And that's just how it goes. One other thing about the whole Draymond thing, a theory or whatever, when they talk about the whole Kerr situation from OKC 2 years ago, and that one being so much worse. I talked about it yesterday. I think it's the culmination of a ton of different things, a ton of different incidences, if that's the right term, a ton of different incidents with Draymond, and this is the culmination of them to where, all right, we have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do something public. Also, on top of that, I think that with the OKC situation, Steve Kerr was the quote-unquote victim and the authority. So Steve Kerr is able to say, look, I'm fine. It was a heat of the moment thing. We'll handle it behind closed doors. Who cares? Let's move on. Let's win. Where with KD, they can't be sure how he feels about this. KD may say, yeah, I'm fine, whatever. I don't care. Is that the case? Not really. So they had to look out for him in a sense, but at the same time, like I said, they also had to look out for the team to the point where, look, we can't just let Draymond run wild and do whatever. And Marcus Thompson has reported, you know, Draymond always does apologize. He always recognizes when he's wrong. So the f- what? Can't... You can't, this isn't, I was going to make a comparison that would probably piss some people off. So I'm not going to do it. But just recognizing, I guess, look, the fact that he can recognize that he's wrong and went too far, it's better than not being able to do that. But that doesn't exonerate him from what he did. That doesn't make what he did okay. All right. I think we've talked through that enough. Draymond and KD arrived at practice or at shoot around together to this morning. As I've said, it feels a little staged because KD is definitely still not I don't know, 100%. He's kind of moping a little bit, which, look, maybe this really does affect him. Maybe he is super sensitive. I don't know. You guys make your own assumptions on that stuff. Bottom line, he's still upset, it looks like. But KD and Draymond walked into practice together. A couple people took pictures of it. They were shooting on the same hoop, same side of the court. Draymond wraps up, you know, daps everyone up. Daps up KD, which was a little half-hearted on KD's part. It's going to take some repair, some tinkering or whatever to fix what happened. And it's kind of understandable, I guess. You know, KD, and that's the other thing. Just because Draymond recognizes he was wrong, that doesn't eliminate KD's feelings, you know? He made a spectacle on national TV about my free agency. But he said he's wrong, so we're good. So that never happened. Like, that's the other thing. There's long-term effects to your actions. So anyways, they're trying to make it all good. And Draymond did make a statement about the entire situation. Here's what he had to say. It's a long one, so stick with it. But here's what Draymond had to say, his official statement on the drama we've seen the last couple days.
I'm going to speak on this one time and one time only. What happened a few nights ago, Kevin and I spoke. We're moving forward. I think there's no secret that I am the emotional player. You know, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I play with that same emotion. Sometimes it gets the best of me, and, it doesn't work to my favor. I'm going to live with that, because it works in my favor to the good. As my resume speaks and this team resume speaks, more so than it doesn't. And so I'm never going to change who I am. I'm going to approach the game the same way that I always do. And, like I said, we'll continue to move forward. And I've read a lot about how, is this the end of the run, or is it over, or did I ruin it, or did I force Kevin to leave? At the end of the day, as I've said before, whatever Kevin decided to do, whatever Clay decided to do, whatever who decides to do, we had great years together, and I support everybody wholeheartedly, 100%. As a man, as a human being, you got the right to do what you want to do with your life, and so I'll never question that. But what you must know is nobody in this organization, from a player, not myself, not Kevin, not anybody else, is going to beat us, So if you're one of them other 29 teams in this league, you got to beat us. We're not going to beat us. We're going to continue to do what we do. And, I'm sorry if that ruins everybody's stories. I know everybody got a job to do. I apologize for ruining y'all's stories if it did, but if this only makes Kevin, myself, and the rest of my teammates stronger, that's what it's going to do. So, you think you saw something before. Good luck with us now. Like, we're not going to crumble off of an argument. We're going to move forward. So that's all I got to say. Anybody want to talk about basketball? I'm here. If not, it's been real.
There it is. Draymond Green, pretty standard statement about the whole situation. I know some people have pointed out, well, he didn't actually apologize. Well, yeah, he didn't apologize publicly. I have to imagine he did apologize privately to Kevin Durant. He didn't have to apologize publicly. So it's just the next step in this whole situation. And the next step after that is tonight's game. I'm excited to see how they'll play, if there's some lingering, emotional tiredness. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Because if they play poorly, I don't want to blame it on the drama, but it might have an effect. Another thing that's kind of weak that makes me just hate media sometimes is, so Draymond, one of his quotes was, whatever KD decides to do, whatever Clay decides to do, we've had a great run. We've been a great team. So no matter what Draymond says in that situation, is going to get run with and, get the Bleacher Report, the hype beast you know, doing the big eyes emoji, like, oh, what'd he say? What is he supposed to say? Yeah, Clay, KD, they're going to be back. I'm coming back, and we're running this thing back for another 5 years. He doesn't know what's going to happen. That was the politically correct answer. I just think the media contradicts itself so many f-ing times to the point where, well, why'd they handle it publicly? And, you know, why did Draymond say if they come back and we've had a great run? Because he doesn't know what's going to happen, you know? If he was so wrong talking negatively about KD's contract situation, then he talked about it properly in this instance, but it still becomes a telling quote or story or something, which I think is bullshit. It's one of the media tricks that I absolutely hate, that even when Draymond's doing the right thing, they won't allow him to do the right thing, so to speak. So I had no problem with his statement. As long as he apologized behind closed doors, which I'm sure he did, as long as he apologized to Kevin Durant, I think it's all fine. He didn't have to apologize publicly to Kevin Durant through the media. He did apologize to the media for ruining their stories, though. That was nice of him. Steve Kerr also spoke on it real quick. Here's what Steve had to say at after shoot-around this morning.
Live action. He hasn't had that. If I talk about this long enough, then maybe this will be the last question.
And then we'll all of us say, let's, yeah. Shall we? Is that it? No further questions?
What was the mood today? I mean, you mentioned that first, you guys are facing. What was the mood, and particularly around Draymond and Katie?
It was pretty quiet. You know, we met in the locker room before practice and went through our usual game day routine. Address some things that will remain private, and I know Kevin and Draymond have spoken, and you know, that's as much as I'm going to reveal. I can tell you that I am extremely confident in this team's ability to get through any adversity. And last time we were in this building, we won a game 7 on the road against a great team. They're down 15 in the second quarter. I know what this team's made of. I know the character of the group. I know the history of this group. And it's way too strong and way too powerful to be upended by the type of adversity that they can hit any team in the season. So we're going to get through this.
Fair, sir. Are you encouraged with any progress?
Steve Kerr with some very coach-like answers and sentiment towards the team and the situation they're in right now. Some great fake media laugh in there too from the media. Oh, Steve, good one about filibustering. So nothing groundbreaking there from Steve or anything. He talked about his team's medal and how, you know, they should battle back and blah 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 blah. All very coach speak. KD did not speak to the media today. Did not want to. I don't know. I'm sure he will after the game. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what happens during the game because there is a basketball game tonight. Yes, not just contract talk and drama, actual basketball. So we're going to talk about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, there is basketball this evening. Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets, who are definitely not the Rockets of last year, clearly, but they have gone on a nice little run recently. They are 6-7 now, have played good defense the last 6 games. They're playing better. I'll give them credit. They're playing better, but they're definitely not the team that we saw last year. Defensively, obviously. The crazy part is offensively, they've been not good. Eric Gordon, shooting like 25% from 3. I do think he'll correct it to some level. He's not Clay or Steph or anything. He's, you know, 37% usually, which is solid. But is there anyone that's a solid 3-point shooter that has uglier misses than Eric Gordon? Like, I swear, he'll shoot 4 in a row that, you know, knocks him down, barely, the net barely moves, and then he'll miss the entire backboard. Like, it's funny to me. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't notice weird stuff that I do. But hit me up at CTH415. Tell me all the weird stuff you guys notice in basketball, like Eric Gordon having terrible misses. So taking on the Rockets tonight, I think that's what is going to quote-unquote heal all of this drama or whatever, is just getting back to basketball and playing well, obviously. It's one thing that I'm actually kind of excited to see is Draymond. How is Draymond going to respond? How is he going to play after what happened? Mentioned that he knows when he messes up or whatever and can admit it. Okay, well, you messed up. Now it's time to deliver. Now you have to come out and be the force of a player that you can be. You have to come out and be Draymond Green. You know, it's that simple. So can he do that? And it's one thing that kind of gets lost in the whole story of him going after Steve Kerr at halftime of that OKC game, is after that happened, Draymond came out and had one of the best halves of his career. He was all over the place, ripping rebounds, defending everyone. And you guys remember, it's the OKC game where Steph hits like the 40-footer to win, casual pull-up just past the three-point, or past half court. I maintain it's one of the best, if not the best, regular season basketball game of all time. I'm biased, though. But after that happened, after the blow-up with Steve, Draymond came out and was just an absolute monster on the court. I think he feels that he'll have to do that again. I think he knows that he is going to have to, you know, play damn well. And I believe that he will. But I'm excited to see it. And then, as I've mentioned, Durant's still a little, you know, a little sad, a little mopey. Is that going to affect him? Is it going to affect anyone else? Or are they going to come out and this be where they get on the same page again and just show up and play great Warriors basketball like they can and should? Especially against Houston, man. The last thing I want is Houston to win, because then we're going to hear about, oh, we should have beat them last year, blah, 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 blah. And Houston's trash anyways. But those are the things I'm interested in. As far as the lineup goes, I do think that Quinn will continue to start in the absence of Steph, and that's something we'll talk about coming up in a little bit, Steph being out still. I would imagine Quinn will start, but it's tough to tell with Steve Kerr, because he'll make some decisions randomly where, like, if this was the playoffs and Steph's out, he's starting Andre. But regular season, he usually goes the other way. Like, good time to get Quinn minutes. Maybe he'll feel the need to start Andre to help overcome some of the drama. Like, it's just tough to tell where Steve's head is at sometimes. So I imagine Quinn will continue to start. Andre will probably come off the bench. Same with Sean. But we'll see. Draymond back in the starting lineup means Derebko's back to the bench. Damian Jones against Clint Capella could be a tough matchup, because Clint Capella is pretty smart. He's got aspects to his game where mentally, if Damian Jones can reach the mental aspect that Clint Capella has, Damian Jones will be just as good a player as Clint. He's got all the physical attributes and talent that Clint Capella has. He's just not as smart of a basketball player yet, as aware of a basketball player. Some people have it naturally. Damian Jones is something he needs to work on. Can he get there? We'll see. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes tonight against Clint Capella. Jordan Bell, I imagine we'll see Jordan Bell. Remember last year, this is where Jordan Bell finally started getting some run in the playoffs, because they had so many wings and backcourt players that they needed to defend against. And he's probably their best, most versatile defender. Kevon Looney can do it too, but he doesn't have the same ceiling as a defender as Jordan Bell does. So we'll see how that goes as well. I'm interested to see Houston's bench against the Warriors bench, because Houston lost a ton of depth. I don't even know what they have. I mean, Tyler Ennis and Michael Carter Williams or something, like, I don't know. Melo's not there anymore. What if Melo suited up tonight? That'd be pretty funny. So same old, we'll see what happens with tonight's game. It's kind of an important game. It's not important because let's say things go wrong and they lose. Oh, well, they play Saturday. They still have time to rebound and get things going right. You know, there's still what? Oh, God, now I have to do math. 67 games left in the season, I think. So plenty of time to figure things out. But it would be nice to bounce back from this drama with a convincing win. And we will see. Tonight, 5 o'clock on TNT. Be sure to check it out. I'll have a review probably tomorrow. And yeah. As I mentioned, Steph Curry is out tonight and for 4 more games after that, and maybe even longer. That's something we're going to talk about coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? I'm your host, I'm going to start doing like a Philly accent. Is that Philly? I think that's Philly. Your host. Anyways, that's what you guys come to hear, my accent joke. So, Steph Curry, as I mentioned, this would normally lead all podcasts, but as you know, some other news going around with the Warriors. Steph Curry is out for at least the next 10 days, which is 5 games. And 5, you know, tough games. 4 tough games, maybe. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Portland. And then he'll be reevaluated. It doesn't mean he's coming back after 10 days. Could be longer. But Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, OKC, and Portland. Dallas, not that good, but they have talent. I mean, they beat the Jazz by 50 last night. So they're a solid team. San Antonio, OKC, Portland. Look, talent-wise, I still pick the Warriors over all of them. But you're missing your most important player, maybe your best player. So I mean, yeah, you still have 3 All-Stars, all that stuff. I know that's what everyone's going to point out, and they should still win. Okay, but you still are used to having Steph. It's still an adjustment. It's still different. So we'll see what happens. Again, look, the injury sucks. It absolutely sucks. But the bottom line is, it's happened at the best time. If he's out 2 months, that will suck. No question. But he's getting it out of the way. As we've mentioned with this team, and we'll continue to mention with this team, what matters is playoffs. Maybe some time before that to work in Boogie, but besides that, like, injuries are lame, but the most important thing is playoffs. And championship, obviously. So, that's the Steph Curry stuff. We'll see what happens. It's the adductor strain. Hopefully he can be okay soon, but it's at least 5 more games, including tonight. So we'll see what happens. As far as league pass picks go, only 3 games tonight. 2 of them look solid. 1 of them not so much. The one that's not so much is Nuggets and Hawks. Nuggets are 9-5 now. They've lost, what, 4 in a row, I think. So I'm going to scrap that game. League pass picks, obviously Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, Clippers. And you know what? They're both on TNT, so it's not even league pass. Everyone have a good evening. Enjoy the hoops. I'll be back tomorrow with more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Searching for someone.